Right now, let's hear from our NFL insider, Jason LaCanfora.
Jay, happy Friday to you. Week 10 coming at us quick. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Hanging in there. And it should be another interesting week. Thanks.
Let's start with Thursday night. I don't know that anyone can explain the Chargers. This was a team that handed Cleveland their only win a few years ago. We've watched them completely fritter away games that should be locked down and won. And last night, coming off maybe their most impressive win of the year over Green Bay, two picks in the first two possessions for Phil Rivers. They're playing chase basically the rest of the night.
Yeah, slow starts have been a thing with him. We've always just kind of like fait accompli, assume he'll be back. You know what I mean? Like, he's been there so long, and it doesn't matter that he doesn't have a contract for next year. But I have not been impressed this year. I get that there's yardage there, but a lot of that yardage is chasing games that got away early because he's throwing all these early picks, and he seems, I don't want to say not fully engaged, but just not the guy we're used to seeing, and not in sync. And they just seem to need to get behind before they start playing, and they're not good enough to do that. That's clearly not a winning equation for them. I thought Melvin Gordon finally looks like he's starting to get it going, and Eckler had some nice runs, but those turnovers were just killers. The one drive, he was like, he wasn't going to stop until he got one, until one of them counted. You know what I mean? One overturned on a call, and yeah, another one overturned on a penalty, and it's like, okay, well, he's going to throw one here. It's just a matter of time. The red zone picks have always been an issue for him. I just feel like he throws more interceptions around the other team's end zone than a lot of quarterbacks. The offensive line isn't great. He's not getting any more mobile. And that's going to be a team that, let's face it, it's going to be uphill climb to get in the playoffs now. They're moving into a new building that they're kind of playing the role of, stepchild to the Rams in. I'll be very interested to see what they do this offseason. I don't know that it's a foregone conclusion anymore that Phillip Rivers is their quarterback next year. Hmm. Whether they go full-blown, rebuild with a young guy or something else. But it's been problematic. The turnovers in particular have been problematic, the early turnovers especially.
And for this Oakland club, they were on Hard Knocks. We watched the Antonio Brown saga.
Yeah.
5-4. Like, to think they're here from where they started, that's awfully impressive for John Gruden here in year number two.
Absolutely. Good for them. There's not a whole lot of superstar star power, The defense still is very much a work in progress, but they found an identity on offense with the way they run the football, and Derek Carr is being incredibly accurate and very effective. They're an interesting team. They're a tough out. They're not the fumbling, bumbling, turnover, penalty-filled team that we're used to seeing. I think Vontaze Burfict being gone for the year is probably a blessing in disguise. And they're a dangerous team. They've got a home field advantage there. People know these might be the final games played there, and it seems to be bringing out a fervent fan base. And look, that win last night, that could be a playoff game for them. That could be the difference between them getting in and not the Chargers. They beat the Colts in Indianapolis. That could be a huge tiebreaker for them. They've had some decent wins, and they've shown that they can be competitive within their division. So I think they're in the thick of things. I really do.
Yeah, and all of a sudden that's a big game with Indy and Pittsburgh as well, because Pittsburgh's at 4-4. They're sitting at 500. That's an impressive feat for them at this juncture, given all the losses and down to their third-string quarterback at one point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they know who they are. They've adjusted and recalibrated, and they're winning with their run game. Not that it's overly bountiful, but they're throwing a ton of screen passes to running backs, which are essentially runs, and they're just having volume in the run game to protect their young quarterback, and they've got a great defense. They're up to second in the league now in takeaways, and they were nowhere before Minka Fitzpatrick got there. But having that true ball hawk back there now has let them get even more aggressive on the pass rush. They're teeing off on people. They're in the top five in sacks now, and like I said, they're second in takeaways. And I don't know that that's going to change. Their front seven can be menacing, and Fitzpatrick's been huge for the back end, which has been a problem for them for so long. So, you know, I don't think they're going to beat themselves, and I think that they're going to be in this thing till the end. I don't believe they can catch Baltimore, but they're certainly a viable wild card team. And they've got they got the Rams this week, which I think they can win that game. But even if they don't, it's the next three games are against the Bengals and the Browns. You know, they get, I think, Cleveland twice in 3 weeks. So they have a chance to be going into December, you know, with as good a chance as anybody for a wild card or still in the division too.
The Chiefs get Patrick Mahomes back. That seems to be the word from Andy Reid. He says unless something unforeseeable happens, he's in. What does that mean to the Chiefs that are 6-3 and I would suggest treaded water without him?
Yeah, I mean, look, Matt Moore played well. I mean, they lost one game without him, but they found a way to beat the Vikings with him. I'm one game without Mahomes, and they found a way to win last week with Matt Moore. And Matt Moore played good football. And really, the key for the Chiefs, though, is going back to Mahomes getting hurt against Denver, that defense now has some pride. It has some passion. It's playing with a purpose. And if they keep that up, then that still may be the team to beat. My issues with them was especially their lethargic run defense. But they've got it. And it's not or anything.
Yeah.
But they have stepped up their game considerably. And if this is who they are now, and this is the job Steve Spagnuolo is doing, and they're able to play complementary football, I think they're going to be a tough. You know, that might be the toughest out in the AFC. So we'll see. I'm interested to see how the defense progresses here, not so much this week against Tennessee, but, you know, as they face some greater challenges to come. But I think that's the story that people aren't talking about so much now because of Mahomes, but really could be the difference. Patrick Mahomes, we know, is an absolutely game-changing player. But if he has a defense that can force a few three and outs now and isn't giving up 6 yards a carry anymore, then Mahomes is on the field even more, and look out.
Let's focus on two of the games you've got on CBS this Sunday. I'm confused what Vegas is seeing on both of them. The Bears have just been awful of late. Trubisky's had a really tough time. Five touchdowns all season to three picks. It's not been pretty. And the Lions have had some rough bounces, some tough officiating. And, okay, they're not perfect, but the Bears favored by 2.5 here.
Yeah, I just followed my best bets, and this is one of them. If you're going to give me points against the Bears, who are fifth worst in scoring and going downward, then I'll take those points because they can't score them unless the defense scores them. Now, the Lions don't have a very good defense. They've been getting worse by the week, but I just don't know that Chicago has the wherewithal, you know, to exploit that on anybody. And then the flip side, Matt Stafford is playing incredible football. They had some weird play calls down at the goal line last week, where they were right in it against the Raiders team. I mean, the bottom line is they've been in it against everybody. I mean, they somehow blew the 18-point lead to Arizona week one, right? They had Kansas City beat. Kansas City had that 101-yard fumble return. You know, that Jeez. Was a tight game. The last week went down to the final play. They're in every game. So that team, who I think is built to perform in that division, with a quarterback playing that well, the discrepancy between quarterbacks alone, I'm going to take the points there, absolutely.
The other one that doesn't make sense to me is you've got one of the best defenses in the NFL heading into Cleveland to face a club that, frankly, just looks lost. I mean, we just talked about Mitch Trubisky. It hasn't been much better for Baker Mayfield. 7 touchdowns to 12 picks. Why are the Bills dogs against the Browns? They're 6-2 against 2-6.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Vegas thinking that, you know, what I thought last week would be for the Browns, which was the get off the mat or else game. You know, I thought that was Denver. Maybe Vegas thinks, and the money so far thinks, that that'll be Cleveland this week. I do have concerns about the Bills' offense. You know, I don't think it's really a handful for anybody, and they tend to play tight games as well, and there may be some thinking that the Bills aren't as good as their record. But then again, Cleveland's not a good team, so if they beat Cleveland, I don't know that that's a big feather in their cap either. I I don't know. I could see that not being a great stat line for Josh Allen. I could see a guy like Myles Garrett having some joy and maybe Cleveland's defense wreaking a little havoc. Cleveland's getting Kareem Hunt back. Will they be smart and creative about how they use him and how they deploy him in ways that haven't been on film yet? I don't want to give Freddie Kitchens too much credit, but, you know, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. And it could just come down to, you know, do the Browns have a week where they don't commit 10 penalties for 120 yards? Because that alone might help them win a football game.
Sunday nighter should be a good one. The Cowboys and the Vikings, two teams that have shown us some really good things and also disappointed in some big spots as well. What do you see here?
Yeah, to me they're kind of the same team, and I'm interested to see who wins this one because both quarterbacks don't play well against good defenses. That's sort of been their MO, or don't play near to the level against good opposition as they do to bad. I am more of a Cowboys skeptic than a Vikings skeptic. If this game was in Minnesota, I would love the Vikings. They're airtight on, you know, at home and have a legitimate home field advantage. The fact that it's in Dallas, you know, Cousins in prime time, I wouldn't touch the game either way. I just think a lot of Dallas's numbers are overly inflated by what they've done against some teams that on that week were utterly non-competitive. I think Minnesota has the better defense. No Adam Thielen, which hurts because that's, you know, Cousins' go-to guy. It's going to be an interesting game. It might come down to the two running backs and two of the best in football. The Cowboys' offensive line has gotten healthier in the last couple of weeks, and I think that's probably been the biggest storyline or sort of plot twist for them of all, getting the starting tackles back and getting those guys, you know, grinding again is huge. I just think they're two very similar teams, and it might come down to a weird call or a quirky decision or something like that. But from a betting standpoint, I don't have a strong feeling on that game.
49ers on Monday will host the Seahawks. You'll chat with our morning show boys on that Monday, or you won't maybe. It's Thanksgiving up here in Canada. But we'll chat with you the Tuesday following that game. Are the Seahawks the type of team that could end this undefeated run for the Niners?
I think they are. I mean, not even so much the team. I think it's just that Russell Wilson can just take games over against whomever. And he has a propensity to do that. And, you know, Tyler Lockett, he and Tyler Lockett are as good a combination as there is in football. And Metcalf's really coming on. And now they're starting to roll, you know, we'll roll out Josh Gordon and see how that goes. I think he's got more weapons to play with than usual. And we know Seattle can run the ball. And is this a week where they let Russell run it a little more just because it's a big game? And why not? Some of those pistol and RPO looks are effective for him. Schottenheimer doesn't seem to want to do as much of that, but sometimes you go back to what's worked against this team in the past, and that might be a wrinkle they could throw at them. And San Francisco's run defense has started to slip up a little bit. So, it's a rivalry game. Anything could happen. They know Richard Sherman inside out there, right? And he knows the Seahawks inside out. And does that, you know, does he jump around or do they catch him with a tell or a tick and use it against him for a double move or something like that? The game within the game will be interesting. I think San Francisco is the better team, but Russell Wilson's the great equalizer. And this is also a spot where, as much as I've not been impressed with Seattle's defense, you just wonder if Garoppolo maybe, you know, turns it over a few times or they get in his head a little bit. So, I'll be interested to see how much Kyle Shanahan puts in the quarterback's hands and how much he sticks with that run scheme that looks downright unstoppable at times. It should be a heck of a game.
I said Thanksgiving. It's clearly Remembrance Day. That means I need another coffee.
Yeah,
Monday's a holiday
sure
in Canada.
Right? I was I gave a lot of people happy Thanksgivings up there like 2 weeks ago, and maybe I was off. Nobody stopped me, but yeah.
I was telling my boys about Grandpa's dad was in a war, and they're four, so we're trying to explain that,
there
flush that
go.
Out, and what that means. A lot of questions on that, so my mistake, and certainly don't want
to
make light of that day at all. Okay, let's finish with a column you've got up on CBSSports.com regarding first-year head coaches. It's gone well in Green Bay, and it's been okay in Arizona given expectations, but there are a lot of spots with very few wins under new guidance.
Yeah, and a lot's been made of the rookie head coaches, and rightfully so. Freddie Kitchens, you know, winless Zach Taylor, one win Brian Flores. But it's, you know, Adam Gase and Bruce Arians are situations worth monitoring as well. Obviously, Sam Darnold's not progressing. Adam Gase has had it. You know, he had 3 years in Miami. It's not as if he's this is new to him, but the offense has been bad. There's been constant turmoil and tumult every week. There's some new drama. He hasn't endeared himself to the fans or the media, and the quarterback is regressing. So if that continues, you know, that could be a one and done. And with Bruce Arians, you know, at this stage of his career and his life and battling cancer and all he's been through and retiring for a year, you know, this was sort of like, hey, come in there, salvage Jameis, you know, a lot of talent on offense, win a bunch of games, 45-42, and have some fun. Well, that's not where they are. That's not where Winston is. And, you know, I think Arians is going to have to sit down with his family and think about what, you know what I mean, what he's really signed on for here and how far that team is from competing and what do we do at quarterback and am I still, you know, is this still where I want to be? So, yeah, it's I think the collective record of the coaching class of 2019 is 19-47-1. And, you know, over a third of those wins are Green Bay. So, yeah, not a pretty picture.
Bengals 0-8, Dolphins 1-7, Jets 1-7, Browns 2-6, Bucks 2-6, Denver 3-6. Then you get to Arizona 3-5-1, and the Packers at 7-2. Not easy, that's that for sure. What's any in-season changes we should be looking for? Never mind the end of the year stuff. Any pressure points that are pertinent to this juncture?
Well, I think the next one is Freddie Kitchens remaining the play caller on offense with the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't think they're thinking about firing him after eight games, but he seems to have too much on his plate already. And you've got a guy on staff like Todd Monken who pulled the strings of that Tampa offense last year and put up some huge numbers, who's been a head coach at the collegiate level, who was really under consideration for a lot of head coaching jobs himself last year, and who probably still will be, and might only be in Cleveland for a year. And if what he does best is call plays and you're having trouble on offense and you're only going to have him for a year, you might want to let him call plays. See if it could get better. So that conversation is going on outside that organization. And if they have another suspect performance on offense, then I have to believe that those conversations start internally as well.
Great chatting as always. We'll do it again next week following Remembrance Day, Jay.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend. Thank you.